But this morning, we're going to move on, and we're in this series, Generous. We started it last week, and I'm excited about this one. And at the end of last week, I gave you guys like a homework assignment. And so you don't have to raise your hand, but I'm just curious if anybody did any part of that. I don't expect you to do the whole thing, but any part of it. We talked about, here's what we talked about in case you forgot. So if you forgot, then no, you didn't do any of it. So you need a reminder. So anyway, what we talked about was sitting down and being intentional about our financial resources and making sure we lay out a budget. We've got to be intentional about that. God has given us everything that we have. I mean, it's all from Him. He is the one who provides all the resources, and He calls us to be good stewards. And in order to be a good steward, that means you need to sit down and figure out where you're spending, where your finances are going. We have to do that. Something else we have to do is we have to make sure that we're being good stewards of our time. So I encourage you to sit down and just kind of plan out a day. Trust me, when you start planning your time, your stress level will decrease, okay? It'll help because you'll be more intentional about where you're spending your time. We also talked about our testimony and how important it is to be a good steward of our words. So one of the homework things we said you could do is sit down and write your testimony out. Know it frontwards and backwards. Be prepared to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, what God's done in your life, at a moment's notice. That's so important as believers. We need to understand that because Jesus calls us. He doesn't request us to do that. He commands us. It's our commission. That's our responsibility. Wherever we go, whenever we're going, we need to be ready to share, to make disciples of all nations. Okay, and so we need to be prepared for that. You got to sit down and work through it. So I want to encourage you to do that. And then your talents, however God has blessed you to serve, find an area to serve other people. Take the focus off self for a little bit and serve others. Just find ways. There's all kinds of opportunities to do that. And I think if we can do that, it will really help us to learn to live out the biblical passage that I've encouraged you all to commit to memory as we go through this. We call it our focus text for this series, and it's found in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, and it's the words of Jesus quoted by the Apostle Paul, and it says, "It's more blessed to give than to receive." That's the kind of life as Christians we need to live, a life that's more blessed to give than to receive. And so I want to encourage you all to continue to do that. I believe it's a true blessing to give generously to others in all those areas. And I believe that it reveals our hearts. I really do. We said this last week. What we value most, it reveals our hearts. And what we must understand is that God is not willing to share our hearts at all. He demands absolute devotion. And God demands that we be generous people, generous disciples. Well, this morning we're going to look at a passage of scripture that's probably really familiar to a lot of you, and it's a very generous passage of scripture. We're going to look at this well-known scripture found in Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. So if you have a Bible, go ahead and turn there. If you don't have a Bible, grab one from the chair in front of you or around you, and if you don't own a Bible, put your name in that one. Please take it home. It's our gift to you. We just want to encourage you to be in God's Word every day. Or grab your smartphone, turn there, wherever, whatever you got to do. But Luke 21, verses 1 through 4. Luke records this. As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. "Truly, I tell you," he said, "this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." That's what we read. The scene is this. There's 13 boxes in the court of women where she came to give. And these receptacles here, they're like brass trumpet-shaped openings. They're narrow at the top, they're large at the bottom, and it's where worshipers would go and they would give. Now, last week when we talked about our giving, our offerings, our tithes, all that stuff, we said the reason we do that is because I believe that it's a great way for us to communicate to God, hey, I'm not relying upon these material possessions, and so I'm willing to give. And it's also a command. We talked about that last week, our tithes, our offerings, all those things. And so I think it's a way in which we worship God. I believe that with all my heart, that this is a form of our worship. So in this particular instance, in this court of women here, when she's giving, there was no paper money back then, okay? And so you could hear the sound of the coins as people gave. All right, so just picture it. There was the sound of the average giver. All right, they'd come in, they would put their coins in, go clink, 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 clink. And then you would have these Pharisees, these scribes, they'd come in with these coffers full of stuff, full of gold and silver, and they'd pour it in, they'd go, blah, 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 you know, make all this noise. And everybody would be drawn to that, and they'd look at that, and they'd have all their attention. And then this poor widow, she walks in with two little copper mites. This is a mite, okay? If you want to see this after service, you can come up. But this is this little bitty thing right here. That's a mite. She walked in with two of those, and she put them in. And I would imagine you'd have to strain pretty hard to hear the plink, plink, plink of these two little copper mites being offered up. See, there were tons of Passover worshipers who were coming to the temple that day. And they were dropping in their donations into these boxes. And probably none of these worshipers saw Jesus sitting there. But you know what? He noticed each and every one of them. He saw them, including this anonymous widow. She didn't know Jesus was watching her, but he was. And he not only knew how much she gave, he also knew that she gave all she had to live on. That's what she gave. Listen, the same is true today. When we give to the Lord, he sees. He sees. Whether it's a large amount or very small, according to man, he sees. Our heart to him is what makes it a large amount or a small amount. It's not the number of zeros that follow. It's our heart. It's how we give. It's our dependence upon him. He knows every giver, whether you're rich or poor. He knows you. Now, people give anonymously. This lady, this widow, she gave. But sometimes we try to give anonymously, meaning man doesn't know what we give. And I always feel like I need to share this. I don't know personally what anybody in this church gives except me. I know in some churches, pastors know, and they make calls on people. We don't do that here, all right? Because giving is between you and God. Now listen, it's a whole lot easier for me to preach on giving and being stewards and generous and all that stuff when I don't know what anybody gives. And so I don't know. I know me. I do know that our elders, any of the people serving on our eldership, we have a covenant with each other that we do tithe. And we hold each other accountable. Now, and our staff, that's part of our job description. Now, we don't take that out of our staff's salary, and that's not what we do. You have to give, but we're trusting. I mean, it's what we do. It's what we talk about, and that's part of our culture here at Maple Avenue, and it's what we teach. And so if you're visiting, you might feel really uncomfortable about giving series, and you may, it's all churches ever want to do. No, it's a part of our worship. And so, yeah, we do talk about it. Unapologetically, we talk about it. So anyway, like I said, I can do this a whole lot easier. But I do want to say this because I believe that we need to celebrate what needs to be celebrated. I believe that our giving as a church is really good. It really is. And that's because we teach about it. We don't ignore it. We don't try and camouflage. We just come right out and teach about it, just like we would sin, just like we would idolatry or anything else. We don't hide it, so we talk about it. And I believe because we teach about it, we understand it. And because we teach about it, the Holy Spirit works on people's hearts and minds, and people obey God's word, and that's why our giving is good. That's why I believe as a church, overall, we have really generous people sitting right out there, all of you. Let me show you what I mean. I kind of touched on this last week a little bit, but I want to give you some specifics. I asked Sharon Wren, who's our treasurer, I think that's her title, and I just know that when I need something or have some question, I call Sharon, okay? I'm not titles. But anyway, in 2006, our average weekly general fund, which is where we encourage people to tithe, was somewhere around $3,800 a week. Now, it's over $9,600 a week. In 12 years, it's grown nearly 300% because we teach about it. We talk about it. We don't ignore it. We don't bury our heads in the sand. And that's awesome and good on y'all. But here's what's even more exciting, all right? Our missions giving in 2006 was about $27,000 a year. That's where we give to missions, other organizations, all right? Last year, and this year we'll give even more, but last year we gave almost $39,000 plus $5,000 bonus towards our missionaries. So that put us at about $44,000 that we gave to kingdom work outside of ourselves. And that's exciting. We're partnering with missions and we're giving to them. And I think God is blessing that and he's blessing our relationships. It's a little over a 60% increase in our giving. And that's good in the last 12 years. And what that means is, well, okay, now, in addition to that, okay, I got to be careful. I'll get all ahead of myself and everything. But in addition to that, in addition to the general fund, in addition to missions giving, we have built a building debt-free over the last 10 years. And it's not complete. We still got a lot to do. But we've paid out $924,000 roughly on that new building. Like I said, we still have some more to do, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But we've done all that completely debt-free. No loan. Now, why is that important? Because had we taken out a loan to do that, all we'd be doing is paying a mortgage, people. That's all we'd be doing. We would not be able to increase our missions giving by 60%. Our general fund would all be going to a mortgage, and we wouldn't be able to take care of our staff, which we do take pretty good care of our staff. We wouldn't be able to continue to give to other ministry needs. Our ministry needs have increased, and we've been able to meet those needs. So that's why we do that debt-free. That's why we will continue to do that debt-free. And I speak on behalf of the elders and of the staff. That's what God's laid on our heart. That's what we promised when we set out on this endeavor. Does no good to say, oh, well, we're going to do something debt-free, trust in God, and then when we get so close, let's break that down and go get a loan. We're not going to do that. It's not who we are. So that's how we're going to continue to move forward with this, because we think God is honoring that. God's word says, owe no man anything except the continuing debt to love one another. And that's our indebtedness, is to love one another. Now, and outside of finances, goodness gracious, I can't even begin to guesstimate the number of man hours of service that people have done here. The number of baptisms in the last 12 years. I mean, we had one this morning. We're going to show you that one a little bit later in our service. But just the number of people who have come to know Jesus, just the ministry that's going on, that's what this is all about. That's living that generous life. But I do have something I want to share with you. We still have a lot more to do. So with this new building. So I want to take this opportunity to invite you to an informational meeting on Sunday, October 26th, 2018 at 9:30 a.m. in the worship center of the new building. I'm not sure if I was extremely clear last week, so I was asked to be just really clear this week, so I'm going to be really clear this week. On August 26th, Sunday morning at 9:30, education hour is going to be canceled like it always is. We're going to do our brunch out in the new building in the worship center. Don't bring anything. It's not a potluck. It's donuts and drinks. As a church, we'll take care of that, okay? So don't bring anything. We'll meet out there. We'll have tables and chairs set up. And then what we're going to do on that day is children's ministry will also be available during that time, and encourage you to, if you can, take your kids there. So that'll be there. And I'm going to meet with the children's ministry workers before that day so they can hear everything too. But in this meeting, this is what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about where we have been for just a little bit. Because you got to look in the rearview mirror, but just you glance, and then let's move forward. Let's look through the windshield, so we're going to talk about where we're going. And in that, we're going to talk about the projects that are coming up. Sprinkler systems, electrical, data, all this drywall, stuff like that. We're going to talk about that. Projected dates, not specifics, but time frames, okay? Because we're doing it debt-free, we can't give specifics always. We're also going to talk about information on our zoning. So as we talk about the city, we got to talk about zoning, that stuff that just comes up. We're also going to talk about information on the ground west of the parking lot out here, what we're doing with this. We're going to talk about a potential service that'll be coming up, hopefully Easter of 2019. We'd love to be able to hold that service out there. That doesn't mean everything's finished. That just means we'd like to be able to hold that service out there. And we're going to talk about honoring God by remaining debt-free. So, I hope that was clear. If it wasn't clear, come and talk to me, and we'll try and make it clear, or find one of our elders. We'll make that clear about what we're going to do. So, make plans to be there. I know, we're going to video that so that if you can't be there, then you'll at least have the video, but that's August 26th. We want you there. Enough of that. August, what did I say, October? Yeah, well, it's August. Sorry. I see why it's not clear. So anyway, let's move on past that. I understand when we talk about finances, sometimes we get all guarded and people don't like it and we just feel uncomfortable about it. And I understand that. But listen, we need to talk about these kinds of things. But I understand it's a confidential matter. And so I respect that. And so whatever, you know, that's between you and God. But just know that the eyes of the Lord are upon us at all times as we give whatever we do with whatever he gives us and blesses us with. He's watching. So in this passage that we're looking at this morning, I don't know if you were, but I was immediately jolted to the core to think this poor widow gave all she had. And it caused me just to look deep within. So I asked these questions of myself. I said, wow, can I give like that? Am I willing to give like her? Do I have the kind of faith she has to give like that? Can I give all I have? Should I give all I have? This morning, as we go through this passage, I want to talk to you about some lessons I think we can really learn from this widow and her giving. But there's also a point of caution. There's something we need to be aware of that I believe is going on in this passage as well. So we'll change gears as we go through this, but I want to talk about the lessons I think we can learn, things that we can just walk away knowing. And the first is this, because there's several things we can learn from this widow's story here, but first, God sees what man overlooks. God really sees what we as men overlook. You see, the big gifts in the temple, they surely got the attention of everybody who was there. I mean, like I said, they were loud when they were put into the temple treasury, right? And so surely people were drawn to that. And I'm sure that that's what the disciples were watching when Jesus said, hey, come over here, guys. I want you to pay attention to this. I know you're distracted by all that, but come over here and look at this. Look at this widow. Listen to these two little mites that she's putting in. See, Jesus thought her giving was worthy of comment. Oftentimes what we overlook is what Jesus pays attention to. And so he drew their attention to this particular incident, the giving of these two little mites that blinked around so silently. The other gifts that day, they made a lot of noise. They jingled. But hers was the gift heard in heaven. Reminds me, some of you know Bob Russell. Bob Russell is the preaching minister down at Southeast Christian Church in Louisville, Kentucky, a little church down there, about 26,000 people. And they were building a new building, and it's about a $26 million project. And so I'm sure they had like big donors and all this stuff, but the one story that he told in a preaching conference I was in with him leading it was this one. I'll never forget it. Now, when I share it, some of you are going to go, well, that's not really a sacrifice. It is. Listen, there was a single mom, and she had two teenage boys, and they couldn't afford to give any extra. I mean, they were stretching dimes into dollars trying to make ends meet, okay? And the boys said, "Mom, we really want to give to this." And so these boys kept talking to Mom about how can we give, how can we give. And finally, the boys said, "Let's give up cable TV and let's give that to the church project. $40, maybe $50 a month." Now, you're sitting there probably going, "Yeah, but cable's not a need." Do you know teenage boys? For a lot of them, that's a big deal. For them to come up with that on their own, to think of someone else over something they would want to do, I was really impressed with that. And of all the stories of giving, that's the one that caught Bob's attention. That's the one he shared. Not the $1 million donations, but of kids thinking outside of themselves. Well, that's a great example. There's all kinds of opportunities to think outside of ourselves, whether we're 12, 13, 14, or 70 or 80 years old. Opportunities to think outside of ourselves to live a generous life, to see how we can help others in need and whatever that need may be. That's just one of those stories that always just stuck with me. Something else that we learned from this is that God's economy, it's a lot different than man's. The widow's two mites, they added up, two of these right here, add up to about a penny, okay, or less. Well, what are you going to buy with a penny? When I was a kid, you could at least buy a Chiclet chewing gum for a penny. You can't even buy that now for a penny. And so, you know, what's it going to buy? And Jesus says what she gave was more than anyone else that day, all these large sums, all these big amounts. How can that be? What's he talking about here? Surely Jesus knew that two mites were a lot less than a piece of gold or silver. Yeah, he knew that. He's not talking about man's economy. He's talking about God's. God's economy is one of proportion. Okay? The rich were giving large sums, but they still retained their fortunes. The widow put in everything, all she had. Hers was a true sacrifice. The rich hadn't begun to give to the level of her sacrifice. They just hadn't. I read an interesting article online at Forbes.com by, I'm going to try her name, Katia Savchuk, from October 6, 2014. I know it's old. I know it's dated. But it was an article about giving in America during the recession. And she said during that time, the richest Americans were donating less to charity. The poorest were giving more than the richest. The Chronicle of Philanthropy is where she cited her source, and they found that Americans who earned at least $200,000 a year gave nearly 5% less to charity than those who made less. And she said that the low and middle income Americans, those who made less than $100,000, gave 5% more. The poorest Americans, those who took home less than $25,000 a year, increased their giving by nearly 17%. Why? Wouldn't you think it'd be the other way around? Well, lower and middle income people know a lot of low and middle income people. And they know people who have lost their jobs. And they know people who are homeless. And they worry that they too might one day lose their job, that they might be a paycheck away from being homeless. And so they're very sensitive to the needs of others. And they recognize that they have an obligation to help. Third, God wants us to give, I believe, in faith. Here's a woman in need of receiving charity. She needs help. She's got two mites, not even a penny, and that's all she has. But yet she had a heart to give. It's one lesson we can learn from this. It might be something else. This is where we're going to switch gears a little bit. Even though the amount was small, she gave it in faith that God could use it. Okay? She didn't give it thinking, "I'm going to get something in return." That wasn't, I don't believe, her intention. Well, I can tell you this, it should not be our intention. You know, there's a lot of evangelists out there, and pastors out there, "Oh, give to get." No. Give expecting God to use it. Let go of it. If we give with the idea of, oh, I'm going to get something back, that's a greedy giver. Just is. And unfortunately, in our culture, in this American culture, this capitalist culture, let's give and God's going to bless me back with even more. No. Stop that. That's just bad thinking. That's bad theology. That's being transformed by the renewing of your mind, but it's a bad transformation. Change that. Okay? Know that when we give, we're letting go. God's going to supply your needs. Doesn't mean that if you give $100, he's going to give you $200 back, but that's what some people teach. That's what some evangelists teach, and shame on them. Because it sets people up for a lot of failure, a lot of hurt, a lot of guilt. And that's not at all what we're trying to do through this series. I don't know what any of you give. And personally, I don't care what you give. I mean, like knowing that you need to talk with God about that. That's between you and him. I'll just share his word. That's all I want to do. My job, my responsibility is not to guilt anyone, and that's not what I want to do. But I'm afraid that sometimes people feel that way. Which leads me to the other thing. Maybe this widow, I want to believe maybe she gave with all this great faith, and she, you know, like the widow of Zarephath, you know, when she saw Elijah, she gave all that she had. She gave her last meal that her and her son had to eat. And so God supplied for them. They were able to continue to eat. I believe God can do that kind of thing. I believe it with all my heart. But in the context, exegetically speaking, there's something else that could be going on here. See, this little story of the widow's mite is sandwiched in between Jesus addressing the false teachers of this corrupt religion and a judgment that's going to last on Jerusalem, on Israel, until the second coming. So sandwiched in between these two teachings, which are very important things to look at when you're studying Scripture, is this little nugget of this widow. Perhaps this is another lesson we learn. Jesus pulls the disciples over and says, look at how this corrupt system has taken the very last two mites from this poor widow. Religious leaders of that day said, you pay your alms to receive a blessing. So maybe she was putting in these two mites, hoping to receive a blessing from God. You hear the condition on that? We've heard evangelists say that. We've heard pastors say things like that. You give and God will bless you. What they were saying is, you pay your alms and you'll get into heaven. Paying your way to heaven? Maybe that's why she was given. I hope not. It's something we need to be aware of. It's guilt giving. We don't need to give out of guilt. God loves a cheerful giver, not a guilt-ridden giver. Don't give out of guilt. If you feel guilty, just keep it. I also want to say this. In this corrupt, legalistic, religious system, this lady putting in two mites, her very last thing, instead of her giving, maybe that church should have been giving back to her. So I want to say this. If you're here this morning, times are tight, and needs aren't being met. Don't ask us to pay cell phone, cable, and stuff like that. But if needs, food, clothing, shelter, things like that, if you need help with that, see me, see one of our elders. We have a benevolence ministry, and that's why we have it. So we can help people in our congregation, so we can help people in our community. So if you're here this morning, you're going, I don't even have two mites to rub together to give. Okay. Let us give to you. Okay? When I was talking about how we've given to missions and all that, I can't even begin to tell you how much we've given in benevolence. It's a very generous church. So don't walk out of here feeling guilty. That's not our purpose. It's not our goal. Our goal is to encourage us to be generous in all that God has provided for us. to let go of it, not let that be our focus on anything. Because God does love a cheerful, cheerful giver. One of the main questions people have asked me about this passage is, how do you give out of your need? What's that look like? I always think that's a great question. Now listen, I'm from Kentucky, so my train of thought don't run too deep, all right? It's just, so this is the way I try and explain it to people. But I believe this is faith giving, okay? That's what I believe Jesus is talking about here. This is faith giving. This is when we trust God completely. Whatever we give should be given looking to God to supply all our needs, okay? Whether it's a lot or a little. Now, not many of us, there might be some of us who are as poor as this widow. Giving away what she had to live on forced her to trust God to meet all her needs. But even when we have plenty in the bank for future needs, we should give trusting God, faithfully, looking to God to meet all our needs. It's like this. It's like if you only have 50 bucks for groceries, this is what it is to give out of your need. Maybe you give a dollar out of that. Maybe you give 10. I don't know what the amount is, but you give out of something that is an absolute need. That's what it is to give out of your need, not out of your leftovers. The widow's gift, it also dislodges the excuse, well, we'll give when we get enough money to give. Listen, you won't. One of the biggest arguments my wife and I got into was many, many, many years ago. We were doing some marriage counseling with a couple, and I may have even shared this last week. I don't remember. But we were sitting at the table, and I said, hey, why don't you guys work toward giving? Just take your time. It's easy. You know, it'll come. And my wife was like, no. Right there in front of them. Fronting me out. I needed to be fronted out. I needed that. But she was right. No. You don't. No. Don't worry. Jump in head first, do it, figure it out, you know, and just do that. So you can always find some way to give something if you have a mind to be faithful to God. It is a mindset and a heart issue is what it is. So let's just be honest. The reason most people don't give faithfully, it's not because they don't have the money most of the time. It's because we squander the money. Lord gives us resources. He provides us with stuff, and we go out and spend it on frivolous stuff that we could easily live without. We run up credit card bills. We want to support a lifestyle that is way out of our boundaries. We can't afford it. And then we say, well, I can't afford to tithe. I can't afford to give. But the truth is, we don't give, and we're in debt because we aren't managing God's resources carefully and faithfully in line with His priorities. I'm going to be blunt and real specific for a minute. If you're not current on your bills, you can't afford. Listen, if you're behind on your bills, you can't afford to go out and eat dinner. You can't afford to go to movies. You can't afford to pay for cable TV. You need to cut all non-essentials until you get out of that debt with a savings buffer for emergencies. And the reason is not so that you can then start spending more on yourself. It should be so that you can begin giving as the Lord wants you to do. That's pretty radical for some people. But the Bible's clear that if you can't give as you should, you're not managing your money as the Lord wants you to. That's why we want to help with this. I mean, more than just having a sermon on it, we're offering Financial Peace University starting in September, on September 11th, at 6 o'clock. And what this does is it helps you to budget your resources. And you can take the principles, you can apply it to your time, you can apply it to your testimony, you can apply it to all the things. But the priority is to get out of debt. I would say, did you do those numbers? I didn't. I don't know if I asked you to. We tried to figure out, I think, one time how much debt our church family had paid off in Financial Peace. I think it was over, do you remember what it was? I don't remember what it was. It was a lot, so it was good on y'all. I just don't remember, sorry. But it really helps. So we want to encourage y'all to think about taking that if you haven't. If you have kids that want to come with you, bring them. It's a great thing to learn. Thinking about doing something like this in the spring maybe for the kids to help them. But so just be praying about that. The gifts of the rich here, it didn't cost them anything. They didn't have to go without. They didn't have to go without anything. They didn't have to adjust their lifestyle to give large amounts. But this widow, she was given everything. And it's all about a heart issue. This widow's giving is a picture of two things. It shows us how we should respond, first of all, to the great love of Christ. It really does. We must give him our very hearts, which certainly includes our finances, our time, our words, and our talents, the way we serve. But it also points us to Christ's total self-giving for us on the cross. The Apostle Paul said it like this. He said, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich." He took our sins on himself so that God could be both loving and just in offering us a complete pardon. To please God with your monetary giving, you must first receive his indescribable gift. He wants to give you something first. It's the gift of eternal life through his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Then out of love, give him your heart. And when you do that, you give him everything. You let go of all and embrace him. Show it by being a living sacrifice. For a lot of us, it doesn't happen overnight. It's a process of having a transformed mind. J.C. Ryle observed, he said, "A giving Savior ought to have giving disciples." I believe that's true. Just imagine getting your finances in order. For some of you, that'd be a great relief. Not having to worry about all the bills, but you've already got it planned out. Just imagine getting your finances in order so that you can give more. Not just to your church, but you can give more to people you meet. You can give more to your kids. You can give more all. Not being held to it. But you got to get that stuff in order. You got to be planned. I encourage you to do FPU. Imagine the joy of giving more to others than spending on yourself. I don't know how y'all are, but Christmas time, I love Christmas because I love to give stuff. Maybe you do. Maybe you like to get stuff. I don't know. If you got a gift receiver in your family, get your finances in order so you can give them more. Or if you're a gift giver, get your finances in order so you can give more. However it is. But just imagine being able to give more to other people. It's fun. It really is. Imagine honoring God by having your treasures, your testimony, your time, your talents, completely at his disposal whenever he calls you to share them. Imagine living with the mindset of it's more blessed to give than receive.